The New England Patriots dropped their season opener to the Baltimore Ravens in week three, but all eyes are on quarterback Mac Jones and his impending issues with health. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage, and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so be sure to smash that subscribe button, download, follow, and subscribe to Locked On Patriots wherever you get your audio podcasts. I am your host, Mike DeBate. I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. Drop me a line. Let me know what's on your mind. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at MDABATENFL. While you're out there showing some love to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, there is a lot to unpack in the Patriots' 37-26 loss to the Baltimore Ravens in Week 3. The Patriots falling to 1-2 on the 2022 season, and we're going to get into all the ins and outs of that game in just a little bit. But first, the collective breath of New England fandom is being held right now for quarterback Mac Jones and the left leg injury, which we believe to be an ankle injury, is going to be evaluated today, an MRI scheduled, and we'll know exactly what is going on with Mac. And we will begin there today on Locked On Patriots. And joining us to recap all of the action and provide his thoughts the way only he can is the legendary Count of Murphy Fisto himself, Thomas Murphy of E2GSports.com. And Don Murph, it is not the best of times for the New England Patriots right now, suffering obviously a frustrating loss to the Baltimore Ravens, but the Patriots may have lost more than that. Of course, we're all talking about the injury to Mac Jones, injuring his leg on the final pass attempt that he made in the fourth quarter. 300-pound lineman lands on your leg. It is painful. And by all accounts, whether they be audio or video or, you know, photographic evidence, Mac was in a lot of pain when he was taken off the field yesterday. Initial x-rays coming back negative, but an MRI scheduled for Monday to determine whether or not there's any tendon damage, ligament damage. We're hearing from ESPN and from NFL media that this is a high ankle sprain, but of course, nothing has been confirmed yet. Murph, no matter how you slice this, this is just not good for the New England Patriots. Before we get into what it means for the Patriots in the immediate future, what was your reaction to Mac's injury?
I was outraged. I was really pissed off. He got bulldogged. All right. I don't want to call it filthy, but it was a dirty hit. Man knew what he was doing, and he tried to take Mac's legs out, and he did. I'm ticked. I am way up here on the gamma induced rage as to how Mac Jones got hurt yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the replay and you look at some of the chatter that was made after the game. And folks, transcripts are available out there. And, you know, we're not going to start putting words in people's mouths. But this is a situation right now where the New England Patriots are facing at least a few weeks now without their starting quarterback. And if it is indeed a high ankle sprain, which we're hearing that it might be, further diagnosis, obviously the MRI is going to confirm that. And folks, we have a special treat for you tomorrow here on Locked On Patriots. Dr. Jessica Flynn of the Boston Sports Journal will join me. We will be discussing Mac's injury in depth. You definitely don't want to miss that episode. Jess will go in depth on exactly what this injury, whatever it may be, may mean for Mac, not just in the immediate future, but the long-term future as well. So be on the lookout for that. But Murph, if it is indeed a high ankle sprain, then really, I mean, this is a four-week minimum at this point. You have to think that the New England Patriots are not going to keep Mac on the roster. They'll put him on injured reserve. The earliest he'd be able to come off if he's put on injured reserve this week is the October 30th game, day before Halloween, against the Jets in the Meadowlands. So That's best case scenario. Right now, the New England Patriots are looking at the prospect of either Brian Hoyer taking the starts or rookie Bailey Zappe. Again, this is just not a good situation. I mean, I'm higher on Hoyer than most, but at 36, almost 37 years of age, he turns 37, I believe, in a couple of weeks, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember seeing correctly. I think it's early October is his birthday. His best days are clearly behind him. Oh, he can run. He can run the offense efficiently because he knows the offense as well as anyone. I think you can make the argument that he may know the Patriots offense better than anyone on that staff right now, except for Bill Belichick. But you're looking at limitations, and you saw those. The last time Hoyer had to take the starting role, he struggled, and he struggled mightily against the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of years ago when Cam Newton went down with a COVID-19 diagnosis. Zappe is another wild card because he's an untested rookie. So, Murph, purely from a logistical standpoint, what are the Patriots really missing on the field? How detrimental is this to their season aspirations right now?
It's huge. This is humongous. You just went over quite eloquently what Hoyer is at this point in his career. He's been an on-field coach for the past two seasons. Okay, this is a man that's a decade past his prime. And the other card is Bailey Zappe, an untested rookie from a small school that, is just not ready for any kind of light, never mind the limelight. Bailey looked good in the preseason against, fourth stringers and guys that I'm going to go meet down at the loading docks at the box store to pick up a new rug for my wife in a little while. And but other than that, no, this is – people are talking on television like, we'll just throw Brian Hoyer in there. We'll be just fine. Look at the competition coming up. You mentioned that he knows this offense better than anybody but Bill Belichick. But which offense are we talking about? Is it the new one that's being installed? I'm sorry.
Good point.
Is it the new one being installed, or are we pulling out the old stuff from the Encyclopedia Biltanica? If that's the case, I feel a little bit better. But if it's the former, I don't know how good I feel right now. And my son, actually, Butchie, everybody knows Butchie, actually came down and he gave a little zing to somebody that is quite prevalent as a troll in the Boston area, young man from the Florida vicinity, who is a member of the media here, who said that the Patriots aren't too sure about Mac Jones as to whether or not he's the future or not. Well, if he's not, then go ahead and put Bailey Zappe in. That's what Butchie said. If you see Bailey Zappe on Saturday, maybe Junior had something to add to the conversation. But if not, I think it's going to be Brian Hoyer, because Bailey Zappe is at this point in time is not the future. He's not even the present.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Tell Butchie he has wisdom beyond his years. Definitely inheriting a lot of his father's wisdom in counsel. I don't even know if that's a compliment, but I meant it as one. So, I mean, at least take it as such. Yeah, there's definitely problems to putting Zappe in there. I've been getting a lot of direct messages, a lot of questions from people online saying that Bill needs to give the kid a chance. And, they took him 137 overall. They clearly have high hopes for him. Give him the opportunity. Let's see what he can do. They did it with Brady. No, folks, they did not do it with Brady. Brady held a clipboard for an entire year before he got the chance to run this offense. Don't forget, everybody forgets that Damon Heward was also on that team. And Patriots had every opportunity to hand the ball off to Damon when Drew went down. They did it with Brady because they knew what they had because of the full year under the system. Bailey Zappe has a preseason, and he has three games as being a healthy scratch. Now, look, there are arguments that will give you the opportunity to give him that, maybe give him a look, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it at this point. Mark.
And look at how this system evolved from the point in time when Tom Brady took over from that, after that Jets game to where it is now. Okay. We are talking consumer math to algebra or physics as to what you have to take into your brain and know what's going on and for it to run properly. All right. We saw last year that Mac did pretty well with it. Mm-hmm. He's been doing well with it this year when they have been running those older schemes and mixing other aspects in of this new offense. Right. But it's not something neither system is something that you pick up overnight. We were all looking forward to what Mac was going to do this year after a year in the system. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really been able to get that because all of these new concepts and new packages and new terminology has been put in. Now, could I be completely wrong about Bailey Zappe? Could he be a savant? You know, could he be somebody whose dad lets him drive slow on the driveway? I don't know, you know? So, but no, I think right now the best bet is Brian Hoyer and to see what happens. I honestly think that this is going to be a longer injury than a lot of people are talking about. I have worked in the healthcare industry for a very long time, and somebody in that type of pain, that's not something that's just a snap of the finger. Yeah, I'm going to feel better in the morning after this type of thing. The high ankle sprains are very misleading. People hear sprained ankle and they're like, oh, okay. Or it's a high ankle sprain, happened up higher. No, there's serious ligament damage going on here. And it's something that you can't rush back from. You really can't, because you will make it worse. It's not something that you can fight through. Okay. Yeah. It's like when you hear somebody, oh, they got turf toe. Well, you have no idea how much turf toe hurts. You really don't until you have it. You don't. Absolutely. You just don't. And it doesn't get better without rest. Hopefully there's no surgery involved. But I think this is a 6 to 8 week situation, not a 4 week situation, not Max eligible to come off. Let's do it. But you'll get into more of that tomorrow when you talk with Doc Flynn. She's just top of the pyramid. I'm just a guy who took x-rays.
Well, you got wisdom beyond your years as well, so don't sell yourself short, as Judge Smales would say, or I would say, as Ty Webb would say, you're a tremendous slouch. In any case, no, I agree with you. I think that this has the potential. We don't know what's going on yet, but it does have the potential to be a little bit serious, Murph, and definitely serious in terms of the New England Patriots, because you're hearing a lot of rumors now that, oh, well, maybe they may have to dip into the free agent pool in the quarterback realm. I've looked into some of that pool. It's not exactly robust right now. Yeah. There's not a whole lot swimming around there. So your options are really, your best options are Hoyer and Zappe. And when you look at what Hoyer brings to the table, Zappe, I know a lot of people are excited. And again, he does have his potential in terms of why people are liking to see him. You know, there's no question about the quick release, accurate, short to intermediate passer, very much like Mac in that situation. So a lot of people are saying, well, this could be a like for like. You know, he's got pretty good when he throws in rhythm. He moves well within the pocket, got a good eye for recognizing pressure. He did all this at Western Kentucky, and we were all very impressed by it. But in order to be a good pro, you have to be able to use your accuracy when throwing on the move. And that's something that Bailey Zappe had trouble with in college. That's something that he continues to have trouble with in the pros. Great. So in order to put him into the Lions den and throw him into Lambeau Field of all places and go against a Green Bay team that is still one of the top in their conference, probably not an accurate, probably not a good strategy. Exactly. Not really a good strategy. So if you are going to hand the keys to Bailey, I don't see them doing it this weekend of all weekends. I think the New England Patriots are definitely better off going with Hoyer at this point, but again, bud, just not a good situation. It wasn't a good situation on the field yesterday in New England, because the Patriots did drop their second game of 2022, moving to 1-2 on the season, 37-26 loss against the Baltimore Ravens. Murph has got some thoughts on what went wrong, and there was a whole lot that went wrong, folks, on the field, and we're going to get to that in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Folks, we all know that it can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, There's simply no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or how small. If you're thinking of getting therapy, try BetterHelp, and they are a great option. They're convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com. When you do so, go /LockedOn today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/LockedOn. Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy of E2GSports.com joining me today. We talked a lot in the previous segment, Murph, about Mac Jones, his health, and what it may mean for the New England Patriots. But ultimately, it wasn't just Mac's injury that had problems on the field yesterday or caused problems on the field for the New England Patriots. Too many self-inflicted wounds, turnovers galore, and just inability to execute in the fourth quarter in what was otherwise a game that the Patriots could have won yesterday, dare I say it. They had their chances, question about it. But obviously, it didn't roll that way, and the Patriots did end up on the losing end of the stick, and you can only blame Mac's injury for so much that happened on the final play in the fourth quarter. So, Murph, in your wisdom, in your counsel, in your green anger right now, I guess, for lack of a better term, folks, I wish I could be more eloquent, but when you look at this game, what went wrong for the New England Patriots?
Forever, the New England Patriots have played a game of football with three core keys that they try to turn every single week. Take care of the football. Did they do that? No, they had four turnovers. Defend in the red zone. No, they did not do that. The Ravens were 5 for 5 on their red zone trips. And don't be stupid. And this team did not play well. They gave up big plays. Even on special teams, they gave up big plays. The final number, one of my keys is moving the chains on third down. They were 2 of 9 on third down for the day, and the Ravens were I think 5 of 10. The Pats were 1 of 2 on fourth down, but I'm not quite sure what they were thinking in that second one with that little swing pass out. It was not smart football. There were poor decisions made throughout this game. And yet this team was in this game right up until the point that Nelson Agholor decided he wasn't going to take care of the football and got stripped. Okay. That game was still theirs to be had. All right. The defense, I'm not quite sure. There have been few and far between moments this year with this defense and giving up. I'm not quite sure what they were thinking on a bunch of plays. They blitzed way too much, way too often in this game against a quarterback who is the best in the league at beating a blitz. I don't know what the game plan was. I'm not sure what they were thinking. And there were the halftime adjustments all came from the Baltimore side of the ball and none from the Patriots. Okay. They were in it till the end of the third. And then it was just helter skelter. I'm pulling my hair out here wondering what they were doing. There were some good moments. They all came in the first half. Dietrich Wise had a fantastic game. I really loved what he brought to it. But where was he in the second half? Okay, he was stopped by second and third string offensive linemen. He was over pursuing. The one thing you have to do against this team is defend the C gap. All right, where was good it? Point. I said in my keys, do not over pursue. And they did that time and time again in the second half. And Junior just beat them through the C gap for anything he was doing, whatever he wanted with his legs. It was almost, even Harbaugh said afterwards, it was like they were begging him to run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And that's someone that you do not want to beg to run the football. Lamar Jackson is one of the most dynamic dual threat quarterbacks that I've ever covered. And I know you feel the same way. This kid can do it all. You can't give him extra opportunities to do it all, or he will gash you the way he did yesterday, giving you four passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown as well. This guy is more than capable of giving you fits. And the one thing that I did notice, and I'm glad that you brought that up, is the way that Baltimore's defensive coaching staff was able to adjust and take Dietrich Wise out of the game in the second half. Dietrich had a monster first half. I don't think people realize 5 tackles, 4 of which came for a loss, and 3 sacks. That is a huge first half. Looks like a game. That looks like a game stat, or maybe even a combined.
That's three games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this guy was really all over the place against a quarterback, by the way, that is not easy to sack. I think we should really make that very clear. But at the same time, they adjusted and they were able to stop him from being able to penetrate and get out on the edge, which he was doing at will in the first half. The other thing that really, I think, surprised me a little bit, and maybe it shouldn't because of the nature of how good he really is tight end Mark Andrews. I mean, he's a reigning all-pro. There's no question about it. But Kyle Duggar being out of this lineup really shows the deficiency this team has when it comes to defending prolific tight ends. And if Duggar is going to be laid up for any significant period of time, and folks, I don't believe so. He was on the practice field on Friday, so hopefully Sunday was just erring on the side of caution, but this is not a situation where the Patriots are very good at doing that, because when you take someone like a Joshua Bledsoe making his NFL debut, and you put him out there on man coverage with a guy like Mark Andrews, he's going to win that battle every single time. And this is Lamar Jackson's favorite target. So the Patriots knew this going in. I know they had a dearth of talent at the position. I understand it. But you have to figure out better ways. Maybe Peppers was the guy that you wanted to put in man coverage. Maybe even throw Adrian Phillips out there, even though he has difficulty. These are veteran guys that have experience that may be better suited. I know that big nickel secondary contains usually Phillips, McCourty, and Duggar. Yesterday, Peppers was in there, but the Patriots just looked like they couldn't stop it, and they paid the price for it.
They couldn't. The Patriots, people were bragging that the Patriots had done so well against opponents' tight ends coming into this game. They hadn't played anybody with tight ends coming into this game. All right, they just hadn't. Not at this level. We mentioned Peppers on Friday. Being able to do that, I thought he had a pretty good game. It was just not enough in certain areas, and too much in others. I want to bring up Isaiah Wynn. You know, he keeps piling up the penalties, you know, a false start, holding calls, you know, that both stalled drives where they could have put more points on the game. He did the same thing last week, and it cost the Patriots a 52-yard field goal that Nick Folk couldn't, you know, bang through the uprights. The most aggravating thing, Mike, is the fact that they've handed away both of their losses. This team could be 3-0 right now. It really could. But by ignoring the weeklies, it's, you know, the things that you come to work with your lunch pail every single week over the last 20 years, you know, taking stupid penalties, having turnovers, miscommunication on the offensive line. It's killed this team, and it's why they're 1-2 right now instead of 3-0.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Very, very well said. And, you know, it's one of those things where the Patriots will look back now this season and they'll take a look at the missed opportunities. You always hate playing Monday morning quarterback on a Monday because there are a lot of regrets. And I know the Patriots are looking at that. And judging from the way Bill Belichick addressed the media, not only after the game last night, but also this morning on a Zoom conference, he's thinking about that as well. Bill, very terse in his response, all of them. Not just when it comes to Mac Jones, but all of them. And you know the Patriots locker room is not going to be a pleasant place to be this week, especially with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers staring them right in the face.
Right. I need more of that from Bill. Bill's been a little bit too much pump the tires and not enough Bill Belichick as of late, with at least in public. I'm not sure what's going on behind closed doors. I'm sure that the conversation is a little bit different, but I can only handle so much stupidity, and there's just been too much. And this team has done well in not missing tackles, things of that nature. But he needs to get on this coaching staff and have them get on these players. These turnovers can't happen. They just can't. And some of it is bad decisions by Mac, and some of it has been play scheme as you know, Matt Patricia has Mac throwing into I don't want to say double or triple coverage, but coverage where he has two receivers in the same side of the field. And so you're sitting there with two receivers with three defenders around those two receivers. Did you know that Mac Jones now has 5 interceptions on the year, and 4 of them are he's been targeting one person.
Yeah. And that one person is Devontae Parker, folks. Yep. And, you know, not for anything. There is a few bright spots, and we're going to talk about those in just a moment to bring everything home today. But, you know, if we're talking negatives, Murph, and I hate to pounce on the kid right now because of everything that he's going through. And I thought Mac did have some great moments yesterday.
He's a grown up. He sits at the grown up table. Go ahead.
Decision making right now is a concern. And it is a concern of mine because we're seeing uncharacteristic poor decision making by Mac Jones in a guy that we didn't see this from in a rookie season last year. And we really didn't see in all of his years at Alabama. One of the great things about bringing in Mac Jones was you believed that you were bringing in a sound decision maker, someone that could, you know, run the offense, someone that would always know where the ball was each and every moment and where his defenders were and everything that needed to happen. We're not seeing that. And, it makes you wonder whether or not the coaching change, whether or not some issues on the bench may be contributing to that. But in any case, right now, folks, it is more negative than positive with the New England Patriots when it comes to their outlook. But we always like to end on a good note here, and we're going to in just a moment where Murph and I discuss some of the good things that went on the field and what the Patriots could potentially build on heading into Week 4 and more. This episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues in just a moment. Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy is here on hashtag Locked On Murph Monday. It is not a victory Monday, Murph. It's a concerned Monday, obviously, when it comes to the health of quarterback Mac Jones. It's an angry Monday when it comes to a lot of what we're seeing with the New England Patriots and how they performed on the field. But in their 37-26 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, there are some silver linings to take from the field. I know I get the reputation of being a little bit too positive at times, but we always like to end on a good note here, Murph. There were some good things that we saw on the field yesterday. Is there anything that fills you with a little bit of optimism when it comes to what this team can build on and maybe do better moving forward?
See the smile on my face? You know who put it there? Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre, he looked fantastic yesterday, and I was kind of dumbfounded that they didn't lean on the running game a little bit more, especially early on when the score was close. I think they tried to prove a point going downfield a bit much, and that's where Mac has had a few of his problems. It worked yesterday for the most part, with the exception of the picks. This running attack is a fierce one. It's one that is versatile and one that moves the chains. We saw it time and again yesterday between Stevenson and Damian Harris. You know, Harris averaged 4 yards a carry, I think. Stevenson ran for 73 yards on 12 carries. You guys go do the math. Not a lot of that came on huge chunks. You can look on the other side and see Hill 6 carries for 60 yards, but he got half of those on one carry. There you go, giving up that big play again. This was a balanced attack. These guys were going out there and getting 5 and 6 yards per carry. All of their touchdowns came on the ground. You know, Stevenson had one, Harris had one, Jones ran in for his little dance there. Even with all the problems that we've talked about with Mac's decision-making, this team still put up points yesterday, okay? Yes. They put up 26 points yesterday, and that's where they need to be able to be. And if you eliminate those picks, if you eliminate those bad decisions, this game is – in the Patriots win column, they probably score over 30 points and the Ravens score, you know, 21.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you hit the nail right on the head. I knew that the minute Ramondre looked fantastic yesterday, that we were going to be discussing him today, but he should. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson had a very good game yesterday. 73 yards, 12 attempts, 18-yard run. Anytime you can rip off an 18-yard run in a game, you're doing something right. I know it didn't count, but I love the heads-up nature of the lateral where he on the two-point conversion. I mean, that was a disaster in the making, but Ramondre nearly made that a pretty play.
That was a terrible call. Yeah, that was a terrible play call. It really was. I mean, for a team that you, if you go back a few years, won a Super Bowl in the greatest comeback in the history of the game on two-point conversions, okay, to come up with that play there. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. You don't have the personnel to run that anymore. That should have been spread out. That should have been spread out. It should have been thrown in. Had one back in there and give Mac the option to run it in after everything's cleared out. You know, what they did there, they just don't have the personnel to run that conversion right now.
Absolutely. No, they don't. And credit to Ramondre for being there and having the heads up to lateral when he had a wall of Ravens in front of him. And, you know, a little bit of kudos to Mac as well for being in the right position and knowing where he needed to be and making the play, you know, work. But definitely, if you're looking at silver linings, folks, Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris as well had another solid game.
Just, you know, just a little tighter of a lawn mowing there and that 2-point conversion would have been good. It was a great play. It was a great play, even though it didn't count.
No, it definitely is. And you want to give credit where credit is due to the O-line on that play. Right. I should say on a lot of Ramondre's runs, because the gap schemes, the pulling blocks, it did help to spring both Harris and Stevenson for some big runs yesterday. Yep. So for all of the ins and outs of what we've gone over that is going wrong in New England, some of what they're targeting and throwing darts at is hitting. So that's one of the things that you want to build on heading into this game coming up this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. And folks, we will continue to break down all of the ins and outs from Foxborough, all the ups and downs. And of course, we will keep very close eyes on the Mac Jones injury situation. And don't forget to join us tomorrow here on Locked On Patriots on Tuesday when Dr. Jessica Flynn breaks down Mac's injury. We'll discuss from top to bottom and exactly what it means medically for the New England Patriots. In the meantime, Don Murph, I thank you for coming to me in friendship. I thank you for lending your wisdom and counsel to the pod the way you always do. Before I let you go, my friend, please let everyone know what you have coming up on the horizon from the great voice, the great pen of Thomas Murphy.
Well, I've got a couple of Red Sox articles coming out this week. Of course, tomorrow, One Patriots Plays, Clazzy Clair, Steve, and myself will be joined by the one and only Taylor Kyles is making his return to the show. T. Kyles will break down everything that he saw today in a much better way than I ever could. The man is just amazing.
He is amazing.
You know, and of course, the Monster Keys will be out on Friday. Hopefully a few more will be turned.
Absolutely, folks. And as I always say, you turn the keys, you go to the top. You don't turn the keys, you're never heard from again. And the Patriots are going to need some extra keys. They're going to need some extra oomph behind those keys this week, because it could be a tough one coming up in Green Bay at Lambeau on Sunday. Folks, we thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on Locked On Patriots. And most of all, to make Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. And now that you've made us your first listen, please make your second listen our good friends over at the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. My colleague Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson break down all the action from all throughout the NFL. You do not want to miss it. So definitely download, subscribe to, follow Peacock and Williamson wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, be sure to smash that subscribe button to YouTube for Locked On Patriots. On behalf of the great Don of the Locked On Patriots podcast, the legendary Thomas Murphy, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.
Did I cut the key that said blitz the hell out of Lamar? No, yes. I didn't. Listen. Listen. Oh.